I'd like you to turn with me this morning, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 4. And if you didn't bring a Bible today, the words will be on the screen. I'm not going to take a long time, but I do want to share a message this morning from John chapter 4, beginning in verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. Again, thank you all for coming and being here on this beautiful fall day. So the scripture says this. It says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine." And that's found in John chapter 2. And that was called his first miracle. It's the first miracle we are aware of that Jesus performed. "And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' And the nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' So Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your son lives. Go your way. Your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' And then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour,'" or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, "'at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." I've called this message this morning the 1 o'clock miracle. The 1 o'clock miracle. It's interesting to me that as we read through the scriptures, there are some details that are given. And you have to ask yourself, why did God do that? He didn't have to tell us that it was the seventh hour when this boy was healed, except perhaps to make the connection that it happened right as Jesus was saying it the day before. Back in the first part of chapter 4, when we preached on the woman of Samaria, it says that Jesus came to the well at the sixth hour, which is noon, according to the Jewish time scale. We didn't have to know that, except that it does kind of give us an idea of why the woman was there at noon. She was there by herself, probably because she was not well respected in the community. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they were assembled together and the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, they began to speak in other languages that they had never learned before. And many that were there could hear them praising God in their own language, of people who weren't had not been taught that. And there were others who were speaking a language that no one knew. And they began to criticize them and say that, well, they must be drunk, they're babbling. And that's when Peter stood up and said, "These are not drunk as you suppose, for it is but the ninth hour of the day, or the third hour of the day, I'm sorry, or 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just not reasonable they would be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning." So why those details? Why the time frame? We know for sure that God does not own one of these. How many know God doesn't own one of these? How many know that God is from eternity past to eternity future? Amen? God doesn't have a clock on his wall. that says, oh, it's, no, I'm going to be late. No, he doesn't. And thank God he doesn't have one of these, right? That has the time change from standard to whatever that is called, daylight savings, you know, automatically in that. He doesn't do that. He is timeless. He is not bound by time as we know it. And yet, he saw that in Scripture, we needed to know that it was a 1 o'clock miracle. It's a 1 o'clock miracle. That didn't affect God as much as it affected the man whose son was sick. You see, time was God's idea. When he created the universe, when he created where we live, when he created the stars and the planets, he created the movements that create what we know as time. 365 days it takes for the earth to get around the sun. You know, we understand that's our calendar and the moon and the earth and all of that. We know that's time, and we've, you know, it's the study of clocks, the study of time, chronology, and we understand it because we are affected by time. And it all starts in England, in Greenwich Mountain Time, that Greenwich time. It all starts there. All time is affected there. And we're affected by time. Right now, you're thinking to yourself, how long is he going to preach? Because you have some important things to do. Maybe you have family to take care of, or you have a project you're going to be at, or maybe something as important as lunch. And so you're affected by time. I'm affected by time. I hear people say, Pastor, come on, preach for 2 or 3 hours. And I smile and say, well, it'd be great, but it'd probably just be you and me here. Because time is important. And we've only got so much of it. So why would God tell us about the 1 o'clock miracle? I think it's because to this nobleman, whose son was so sick, time was everything. Time was of the essence. Time was critical. I've got to get to Jesus. How did this man know that Jesus could do anything? At this point, we only know of one other miracle that he had done, and that's turning water into wine. Maybe in his mind, he was thinking, if he can turn water into wine, he can turn sick into well. Maybe he had heard the story that Jesus was proclaiming to be the Son of God. Maybe he heard rumors that maybe there were other miracles that are not written in Scripture for us. That's possible. But however it was, he took the time. He left his son and he traveled. He left his son in the care of servants. No doubt he said, take good care of him. Cold compresses on his forehead. He had a fever. Take care of him. I've got to take and go to Jesus. We don't have much time. See, this dad knew that his son was limited in time on this earth if he didn't have a miracle. They had done everything they could. And so he made the time to go to Jesus. He traveled. It looks like it was about a day and a half journey. And he finds Jesus and he implores him. Look at verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus, come with me. It's a day and a half trip. Come with me and heal my son. He implored him. He begged him. Why? Because he loved his son. He cared about his son. He wanted his son to live. And in that respect, this father, this nobleman, really represents all of you who are parents or grandparents, or you that have someone very close to you. There are times that we must implore God to help our families, to help our children. Lord, I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. Every day, Cheryl, my wife, and I pray by name for our children. We have 2, and we have grandchildren, 7. We pray for them. The 7th doesn't have a name yet that we're aware of, so it's just baby sours. But we pray for them every day. We implore the Lord to be with them and to help them and to protect them and to guide them. Why? Because we love them. We pray for you because we love you. I'm telling you, if you love someone, you will pray for them. Come on. You'll pray for them. Why? Because we love them. And this father was moved with his son's illness. And so he knew he had a limited amount of time. And so the nobleman worked within the time frame. He couldn't get into a car and make the trip. He couldn't get on a motorbike and make the trip. Couldn't fly. He had to walk or maybe take an animal. But he traveled in the time that he had. And he implored Jesus. Why? Because he knew his son did not have very much time. Time. It's an important factor as we follow the Lord. Time. We've all got the same amount, 24 hours in a day. Sometimes I think it'd be nice to have 26 or 27. I could maybe get more done. But we all have the same. That, in that respect, we are all equal. No matter how young we are here today or whether how old we are, it doesn't matter. We all have the same amount of time. It's what we do with the time. What do we do with the time? For this man, he took the time to travel to Jesus. I'm telling you, it's worth your time to spend time praying for those you love. It's worth it. It's not wasted time. Time is one of those things that is a precious commodity. Some of you will remember, some won't, but some will remember Jim Croce, the singer, who is gone now. And Randy reminds me of him, just the way he plays his guitar. And in 1973, he wrote a song called Time in a Bottle. I'm going to read to you some of the lyrics. And though he is writing about someone he loves, probably a girlfriend or a wife or something, we could exchange his words for our children or our family or even the Lord, if you would. Here are some of the lyrics. If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do. Once you find them, I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, that box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. Pretty amazing words, because they really speak to each of us about time. And how important time is. Why is 1 o'clock, the 1 o'clock miracle, important? Because that, to that father, his son did not have a lot of time. And that's why he implored Jesus, come now, come now, come now. And that's why when Jesus said, your son lives, the Bible says he believed and he turned around and started back. That believing is so important. And he started back a day and a half journey to get back to see what had happened. He believed because time was so precious and so valuable. And that's why you and I have got to treasure our time. Amen. See, I speak baby language. And baby just said amen. Hear what pastor has to say. A couple weeks ago, I was in Grangeville, Idaho, preaching, and a rooster next door began to crow during my sermon. I said, don't worry, folks, I know rooster. I speak rooster. And the rooster is saying amen to my sermon. So. Time is so valuable. Treasure those little ones. Treasure the time that you have with mothers and fathers and loved ones and children and friends. And treasure, because you can't put time in a bottle. Though Jim Croce wanted to, you can't do it. You can't put it in and then just say, okay, I'm going to have a little more time and I'll just open it up. You noticed on the prayer sheet that Pastor Jim Linderman passed away this last week. Some of you know Pastor Jim, very wonderful man. A week ago, I saw him. I visited him for the last time in the facility that he was in. When I went inside, I just had this sense that this was probably my last time I would see him. I didn't know when Pastor Jim would have no more time. But I went in and I laughed with him a little bit. I prayed with him. We cried a bit. I hugged him. I kissed him on the forehead and said, I appreciate your faithfulness in the ministry. I appreciate how you listen to the call of God. And then I said, but I have to slip out now, Pastor Jim. And just know this, if this is the last time that I see you, I want you to know that I'll see you again in heaven. And I left, and Saturday his son texted me and said, Dad had passed away. And so for Jim, time, he ran out of time here. But you know, that doesn't matter because he's in heaven where there is no time. And one of these days I'll see him again and we'll have all eternity to fellowship. Amen? Because that's the way God has designed it. But until then, take the time that you have and love those that you can love. And time is too short to be arguing. I'm telling you, just settle that thing as quick as you can. Amen? Do what you can do to settle that thing. Settle it, because time is too short to be up in arms and battling and all of that. Say I'm sorry. Do what you have to do. Get that thing settled, because the son is sick and we don't know how much time he's got. So the father came and said, Jesus, heal my son. And so he headed back. And on his way, his servants met him. Because evidently, at 1 o'clock the afternoon before, the servants noticed that the fever was gone. And so a couple of servants said, we've got to tell them the master. And so they headed out, and they met halfway, and they said, your son lives. I can't think of a more exciting report for that man. Amen? Your son lives. And then the father thought, wait a minute. And he said, when did that fever leave him? He was going to try to put two and two together. When did that fever leave him? And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that fever left him. And the Bible says that the man knew that was the very hour that Jesus spoke the words, go home, your son lives. It was a 1 o'clock miracle. Amen. Confirmed by the servants. Confirmed by the man's own experience. 1 o'clock. Some of you are waiting for a miracle. Some of you are waiting for the Lord to answer a prayer. And though God is not constrained by our watches and our smartphones and our clocks on the wall, God works within our time frame. And I've been told this since I was a little boy. God is never late and he's never early. He's always on time. But it's his time, right? So God works within your time constraints. He knows when you need the miracle. And it may not be a 1 o'clock miracle. He may give you a 3 o'clock miracle. He may give you a midnight miracle. He may give you a 7 o'clock miracle. We never know, but God is faithful to answer the cries of his people. Hallelujah. And if you're waiting for a 1 o'clock miracle, I want you to be encouraged that God knows where you're at. He understands what you're going through, and timing is perfect. Timing is perfect. God's timing is always perfect for his people in answering their prayers. And so, time. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, even in the Old Testament, they understood the concept of time. Let me read to you, please. You've either read this before or you've heard the song written by the music group, The Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything there is a season, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Now, I don't have the time to go through every one of these and explain them in detail. I don't have the time. What time is it? I got 2 minutes. That's my own self-time imposed. I don't have time to go through each of these, but sufficient to say that even in the Old Testament, they knew the value of time. And I just want to say this. To this man in John chapter 4, there was a time for his son to be sick. For whatever reason, don't understand it. But what I also understand is that to that dad, he felt it was a time to be well. And he knew that the one who could do that was Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, you can come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, here's my need. I need a 1 o'clock miracle, and God will provide." Amen? There's always time to pray. There's always time to believe. There's always time to implore the Lord. Let's stand together, please, this morning. Father, the songwriter said, "If I could put time in a bottle..." But we know we can't do that. But Lord, you've given us time. Help us to be good stewards of that time. Lord Jesus, help us to take the time we have and use it wisely. And there's no greater thing we can do with our time than to love the people that are connected to us. We see that in the nobleman who loved his son so much he would travel to Jesus and implore him. Help us, Lord, to spend time with our children, our babies, our teenagers, our grown children, our grandchildren. Help us to invest time into their lives. Help us to invest time into our friendships and our relationships. Lord, we have to take time to work, many of us. But help us also take time to play and to laugh, to enjoy. Lord Jesus, help us to know that time is a treasure. And as this man knew that needed the 1 o'clock miracle, you also see, Lord, what time we need our miracle. So I pray for every person here today, Lord, whoever they are, and whatever they're praying about, I ask you, Lord, to give them that 1 o'clock miracle at whatever time that you see fit, because your scripture says that our times are in your hands, and we thank you for that. But help us to make the best of this time by following Jesus, serving him and loving him and loving others. It is a good investment of our time, and that will come back to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the time we've had this morning in this first and second service. We thank you for the time tonight when we will gather around these same tables and enjoy a meal and fellowship and laughter and enjoy our time. And Father, we thank you for that. We give you praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today, shall we? Amen. Amen.